You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
No longer do we wait for February for National Signing Day. It's still called National Signing Day in February, but really National Signing Day has become that Wednesday in December. That's the first day of the early signing period. If you don't sign that day, chances are you might get left behind, because that's when most of the college teams are filling up their classes. Arkansas signed 20 high school players in the early period. Also signed a couple of transfers. Now, depending on who you ask, the transfers either do or they don't count toward the signing class rankings. It just kind of depends on the organization. Today, we're going to look through the signing class, though, with Dudley Dawson of Hogs Illustrated. I'm Matt Jones, and we appreciate you joining us. The rankings could still change for these classes depending on what happens in February, but generally speaking, it looks like Arkansas is going to have a class that's ranked somewhere in the mid to lower teens nationally and somewhere in the 7-8-9 range in the SEC. That's before you count in Oklahoma and Texas, who I think you have to start now considering, you know, in these recruiting rankings, because the players who sign now for those two schools will be playing in the SEC by the end of their career, assuming they stay at those schools for at least four seasons. The Razorbacks, middle of the pack SEC, a pretty good class, very in-state heavy class, Dudley. What are your overall thoughts on what the Razorbacks have signed in the class of 22?
Well, I go back to the part where, you know, this is really a class that they had 14 of these guys already committed before September. And that was sight unseen what they were going to do this season with 8 wins and getting to a New Year's Day bowl and berth and all that. So, you know, it was really impressive to me how they got out in front of this thing and sold the kids on hope and what they were going to do here, and then followed it up with, you know, the 8-4 season. So I think that's really good. I think they will probably be on the verge of having a great 2023 class. Already got four pledges there, and I suspect we'll see two or three more here in the next week or so as they've really got things going in that class. But overall, I'd say a very good class, especially when you consider what they had to show these kids, you know, was just a bill of sale and some hope.
They went 8-4 this season, 4-4 in the SEC. It feels, though, like the results of this year, they're really not going to see from a recruiting standpoint until next season. I know there's, you know, some transfers that are probably influenced by what they just did this year. Jaden Hazelwood, the Oklahoma wide receiver transfer. Landon Jackson is a linebacker who was a 4-star recruit out of high school, spent the 21 season playing mostly special teams at LSU. But as far as the high school signees, Dudley, doesn't it feel like the 23 class is when you will see the results of the 21 football season?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's something that they're excited about, because they were able to get out early on these guys, able to get some commitments already, as I said, forward. I think that'll be expanding here in the near future. I would say the biggest flip, per se, during this 2021 season, the guy who probably made his decision based on what was going on in the 2021 season was Isaiah Satanga from Fayetteville, who, you know, just came right out and said that Arkansas, in the few years he had been in it, living here, it was not a very good program at all, and that he believed Pittman and Coach Pittman and his staff had really turned things around. And basically, it was a way of saying they weren't that good, you know, but now I think they're going to be good, and I'm willing to stay home.
Satanga is one of 10 players, as we mentioned, who are from the state, who are committed in this class. And let's talk some about the in-state signees, Dudley, because there are no 5-stars in this signing class. Hazelwood was a 5-star out of high school, but in terms of high school seniors, there are no 5-stars. The highest ranked players are 4-stars. Isaiah Satanga of Fayetteville, Sam Mbake, a wide receiver who signed out of Georgia, Andrew Chambly from Maumel, Emarion Harris from Joe T. Robinson in Little Rock. They are expected to sign Miles Rouser, who's a 4-star defensive back out of Michigan, in February. He's going to wait until the late signing period. I assume they could probably add another, you know, signee or two during the late period. I saw where the Tulsa World reported recently that Gentry Williams, who's a Booker T. Washington two-way player, that he's still in contact with Arkansas, a four-star player from there. He's committed to Oklahoma, but he's kind of weighing his options after he meets Brent Venables and the new OU coaching staff. So there could still be some four-star players that sign with the team. But let's talk about the in-state ones. You mentioned Satania. They've got to get bigger on the offensive line. Chambly and Harris really look like those freak offensive linemen, like we saw Sam Pittman bring in during his first stint at Arkansas from about 2012 to 15, the likes of Denver Kirkland and Dan Skipper and Sebastian Tritola. You're starting to see really big linemen get into the program, and I think these two fit that bill.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Once they get up here, I think you're going to see Marion Harris, who's listed at 370, and Andrew Chambly, who's listed at 320, kind of meet somewhere there in the middle. Joe T. Robson's coaches have talked about how when they get Marion Harris up here, he'll probably get down to 340 or something before he ever hits the field. And I think you'll see, as I said, Chambly going the other way. But that's the kind of size he's wanted on this offensive line. He made that clear at his press conference, made it clear about every press conference he has. But the important thing is not to only get bigger, but to make sure the guys can play that you're bringing in here that are bigger. And certainly those two guys are excellent offensive linemen, or excellent potential offensive linemen on the college level. He loves Patrick Kutas, who the previous 2 years played the defensive line at Memphis Christian Brothers University, but they love him as an offensive lineman. He's grown to 6'6", 300 now. So he's put on an inch and 10 pounds of weight since they signed him. And then you've got Eli Henderson, who, got a chance to see work out at camp this summer, who I think is going to be a phenomenal guy. And he's a center and has been playing center and will probably come in and push the centers that they have here because of his ability to do that and how he's been doing that for a couple of years.
A couple of sets of teammates from Arkansas high schools. Manny Powell was a linebacker at Fayetteville. With Isaiah Satania, Powell transferred into Fayetteville before his senior season. He grew up in Canton, Ohio, and ended up coming in here after he had committed to the Razorbacks. Also at Clarendon, you have the receiver Quincy McAdoo and the tight end Dax Courtney. Kind of interesting on that foursome. Satania and McAdoo were previously committed elsewhere. McAdoo was committed to Florida State. Satania had been committed to both A&M and Oregon. And then with Powell and Courtney, both are going to be coming in off of knee injuries. So it'll be interesting to see how they rehab and whether or not they'll be able to play as true freshmen.
Yeah, and Powell, is an early enrollee, and so is Dax Courtney, the tight end from Clarendon, that they both will be the early enrollees. Both expect to be cleared to practice during spring practice. We'll see how that works out. But if it does, those are guys that need positions. Will they come in and play right away? Well, certainly there will be the opportunity there, but they'll have to get up here, get it done, and have to be healthy. We saw a situation this past year where Aaron Outley would have been probably somebody who could have contributed to tight end, but really his rehab, although we thought it was further along than it was, didn't really get to the point where he could help them and contribute. So they just got to put him in the deep freeze for a year, let him get healthy and get better. We'll see with these two guys I just talked about whether they will come in and be able to go, or whether it'll be a similar situation to what we saw with Aaron Outley.
I need to correct myself. There's actually three sets of teammates because you've got Andrew Chambly and is it Nico? Help me with his last name. Is it Davalier?
Nico Davalier. Just pretend it's French. He's 6'5", 275, and that's a good teammate to bring along with you.
Last year, they got the two players out of Parkview, Landon Rogers and Aaron Outley. They got James Joyner out of Parkview this year. Seems like you're starting to see a lot more players out of Little Rock again. Maybe it's just a cycle, and, there's been a lot of talk about Little Rock. Public schools don't produce a lot of players, but in the private schools, whether it be CAC or Pulaski Academy, Little Rock Christian, the Pulaski County School District has had a lot of players, but just in terms of Little Rock players, there's quite a few this year. A couple from Maumelle, you've got Harris from Robinson, you've got Joyner from Parkview. That area, I've always felt like if Arkansas is going to be good, they need to have Little Rock producing football players, and it seems like maybe things are a little bit on the upswing there.
Yeah, and I think they have some good coaches down there now that are you know, the first thing is you got to get those kids out. Sometimes you have to fight off basketball at schools down there, too, for athletes. And I think that, you know, they're doing a really good job down there now. One kid that is headed to Ole Miss that Arkansas will play against, Jalen White, was the quarterback. He'll be a linebacker safety at Ole Miss. He's one of the guys that they did offer. But kind of got full up and he decided to go to Ole Miss. Of course, Caden Turner, the outstanding Fayetteville linebacker that you saw a lot, is headed to Indiana. But, you know, you look past that and they get just basically everybody they wanted. They're offered, didn't say.
Caden Henley from Chandler Christian. JJ Hollingsworth was the first player to commit to this class. He's a defensive end from Greenland High School. It's the most players that they have signed from the state of Arkansas since 2008. That was that great signing class that had Jarius Wright, Greg Childs, Tyler Wilson, Dennis Johnson, Joe Adams. You just kind of go on down the list. That was a class that really, you know, contributed to those two great years in 2010 and 2011, and, you know, was a big staple of Arkansas football for about 4 or 5 years. There are a lot of people, Dudley, who believe that in order for the Razorbacks to be good, they need to have a pretty big number of in-state players. Right or wrong, that's a belief of many. I think that, you know, there's a belief that the in-state players play harder when they play for the Razorbacks because maybe it means a little bit more to them. What are your thoughts as it pertains to having so many in-state guys?
Well, I think it's a great deal that they offered 13 this year. Not only do I think that those guys all warranted offers, but I also think it, you know, it kind of shows a point that he's willing, this staff is willing to recruit Arkansas. And sometimes that hadn't been the case. I remember one former head coach whose tenure ended with a motorcycle wreck telling me that if he had a chance to recruit a kid out of Arkansas and a kid to recruit a kid away from Arkansas and they were equal ability, he was going to recruit that other kid because he thought they'd played, you know, a higher level of football. I don't think that's the situation with Coach Pittman and his staff right now. I think the 2023 class is really good. We won't know, you know, for a while how many they're going to end up offering in that class. They've already offered three. But you have a situation there where I think that you have the ability, and that he made this clear at his press conference today. In January, they're going to bring in, January, February, they're going to bring in a bunch of these Arkansas kids and really make a push, the 2023 and 2024 class, which sounds nuts when you're sitting here, you know, in the last month of 2021, but that's the way recruiting works these days. You know, obviously they're going to, you know, they may fill it in with a few more high school kids and you know, some transfers because they can go up to 28 offers if, you know, if kids transfer out from the portal. But, you know, I think they're about to make a push in Arkansas, and this is a really good 2023 class.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Whoopee!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
We talked about Arkansas really focusing on in-state players this year. Really good in-state class in the class of 2022. The other two states where they got a lot of players from, Dudley, might come as a little bit of a surprise. They get three players, and I'm talking about high school players, from the state of Georgia, and they get three players from the state of Tennessee. I don't know if the Georgia is maybe so much of a surprise. I mean, you think about there are a lot of coaches on the staff who either worked with Sam Pittman at Georgia, or say in the case of a Jimmy Smith, who was a high school head coach in Georgia. A couple of his former players have committed or signed with Arkansas. But what are your thoughts about where they're going outside of the state? Not to say they've abandoned Oklahoma and Texas. Maybe it's just cyclical, though, because those were the areas that they really focused on the first couple of years under Pittman.
Yeah, I think it is cyclical, as you said. I think the two friends out of Tennessee, and Jalen Lewis and Anthony Brown, both defensive backs, they kind of made a pact somewhere along the way that they were going to come to Arkansas. But Sam Carter, I think, had a lot to do with them wanting to go ahead and make that pact. Jalen Lewis did not have Arkansas in his top 10 when he got it down to top 10, and he ended up, committing to them early and signing with them. Then, as we mentioned, Patrick Kutos from Memphis Christian Brothers, which I think Coach Pittman kind of considers Memphis to be East Memphis and West Memphis. But, just part of an extension of Arkansas. But I think that they've got some, coaches that have, they use the term recruiting footprint a lot, that it can help them in Texas, can help them in Oklahoma, can help them in Georgia. South Carolina and Wisconsin and Australia maybe not be the places you get them from a lot, but they kind of, got those into the mix. I think they'll continue to recruit to Louisiana and just, pick and choose nationally, but, really focus on these regions and places that they really have a lot of contacts, across the SEC footprint and a lot in the Big 12 as well.
You mentioned the specialist, and there are two things that jump out to me in this class. Number one is that it's the first signing class I can remember in 15 plus years of covering Arkansas football that there's not a quarterback. Seems like every coach has always had at least one quarterback in a signing class. There's not a quarterback in this one. The other thing that jumps out to me is that there are two specialists in this class. There's Max Fletcher, the punter from Melbourne, Australia, and Eli Stein is a long snapper from Wisconsin, who I think is maybe the number one long snapper in the country. Very highly rated long snapper, wherever you find long snapper ratings. They're not easy to come by. But they signed Cam Little last year. He played, he made such a big difference for them this year in terms of, how good he was as a field goal kicker. Won the game for him in Baton Rouge, really won the game for him against Mississippi State. Pittman believes that you give specialists scholarships, and not a lot of head coaches believe that. And I think, with Cam Little, there was some validation.
You get what you pay for. I mean, there are reasons that you would offer the top guys, at these specialist positions, scholarships instead of asking them to come on as preferred walk-ons. Although I must say that Arkansas has at least two other kickers and a couple other punters that they're going to bring in as well as preferred walk-on options to help out just in case, they need it down the line. Cameron Little, of course, is now going to be the kickoff guy as well, since Vito Calaruso, has decided to enter the portal, but I think he'll handle that really well. But, obviously the special teams, the first year that Coach Pittman and Scott Fountain were here, got a bunch of criticism, and I think it was warranted, but they look at it as how they need to have at least a couple of specialists on scholarship to be safe, and a lot of them a lot of guys to back them up in those roles as well. But they also, in their movement to help special teams, as they continue to get more depth in all the positions, they're going to be able to use those guys more on special teams, starter type guys on special teams. And that's one of Fountain's philosophies that he really, would like to get going here as well. We started to see a little bit of movement that this year. I'm anxious to see what kickoffs and punts look like next year, because there are several people in this class who have excelled in those roles in high school. Oftentimes we don't see it translate to college success, but again, you're bringing in some more special skill guys that have had success doing that as you continue to try to get better.
no quarterback. Do you think that's just a matter of there wasn't one in this class they liked, or you think they might go to the transfer portal?
They really like Cade Renfro, who is a guy that I don't know that a lot of people, a lot of Razorback fans know about. He transferred from Ole Miss. There's some type of relationship there between him and Kendall Briles. I don't know if they're related or whatever, but they certainly know each other well. They were really high on him. I know he played some wide receiver and, you know, on the scout team and some quarterback on the scout team, but they were really high on him in terms of what they have. Now, if any of those guys jump into the portal, then I think they'll go look for one, you know, as a transfer guy or another high school guy. But right now, I think they are, happy with what they have in the quarterback room in terms of KJ on down to Renfro. And I think it's six total quarterbacks that they have. The fact that you brought in two last year when you think of Cade Renfro transferring, Lucas Coley coming in, and Landon Rogers, who is he a quarterback or is he a tight end? I think we'll, have some more clarity on that pretty soon. But I think they feel confident right now with what they've got in the quarterback room.
And earlier that Miles Rouser is waiting for the late period to sign. That probably makes a lot of people nervous that there might be some indecision on his part. How confident do you feel like he will end up signing with the Razorbacks in February?
I am not confident at all, and here's my reasons for that. Number one, he's kind of ceased communication with the recruiting writers. He reportedly canceled a couple of home visits he was supposed to have with the Razorbacks. His brother plays at Michigan. He didn't finish the year with his team. Just a lot of, things out there that make you think that maybe – this is a decision that all parties are taking a look at. Usually I can tell when coaches and players don't call me back, what's going on there, because a lot of them are excited about signing and all that. I haven't been able to get to Miles on the phone. I've talked to his coach for maybe 30 seconds, and he used to do a lot of direct messaging. So I have no confidence whatsoever he's going to sign in February. He may, everything may get worked out. He certainly is one of their more talented guys that they had a commitment from. But, in this recruiting business, when things go wrong really near signing date, you become highly suspect that things are going to follow that way down. If Gentry Williams wants to come, then I think if you're going to replace him, that would be a deal there. Dryden Norwood is a young man who went to Texas A&M. Some people thought he was the best player in the state the previous year. From all intents and purposes, he believes he made a mistake, and I think he wants to come back here, but we'll see how that plays itself out. So there are other options there, and I think that maybe they sit down and work it out and Miles Rouser ends up here, but I have confidence in that at this moment.
Norwood, of course, played at Fort Smith Northside. His cousin is Trey Norwood, who is with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I believe, and played college football at Oklahoma. He just recently has entered the transfer portal, according to reports. Let me ask you, Dudley, about the rankings. We mentioned they're going to be somewhere in the teens. Sam Pittman is obviously known as a great recruiter. That was evident when he was an assistant coach. He hires coaches, I think, as much based on their recruiting ability as their ability to teach a position. Do you think Arkansas can improve on this? And I think that the question for Arkansas when it comes to recruiting, in my mind, has always been, can they rise above being middle of the pack in the SEC? I mean, obviously, you're always going to have Georgia and Alabama and, probably LSU. They're going to be right there at the top of the rankings. But is there ever going to be a day that Arkansas can get from being, say, 7, 8, 9 in the SEC to being in that 4, 5, 6 area? What are your thoughts? Do you think that this staff is going to be able to elevate their recruiting to that kind of level?
I guess the popular answer for me would be to say yes. But the honest answer for me to say would be that there historically this program has not been able to recruit above 15. It has usually been in the 18 to 25 range somewhere along the way, which is pretty good. But when you're in the SEC, like you said, it makes you, middle of the pack, maybe even lower than that in terms of what you're doing against the other SEC schools. I will say that the fact that they were able to recruit this class off of the 3-win season and having only 7 or 8 wins in 3 years is very impressive to me. So I won't put it past them, but historically, you just have to side with the fact that once they seem to get near 15, there's a wall that goes up that, 4 or 5 of the SEC teams are not going to be out of there. And now you've got Shane Beamer at South Carolina bringing on Spencer Rattler and some other guys after having a kind of a turnaround season for them down there. Eli Drinkwitz he may make a few people mad along the way, but he's having a really good recruiting class. It's just tough if you look at history to see that they're going to break through that glass ceiling per se. Maybe they can. I do think they've got a good staff, but they have such a good staff. Are they going to be able to keep that staff as they move forward?
You mentioned Arkansas is always in that 15 range, 15 to 18 to 25, I think is what you said. Does it matter? I mean, does it matter if you're ranked 18th and you're ranked 13th in these rankings?
I think you are always a better coach when you have better players. And the thing that, that I would tell you about that is at one point, I think Rivals had Arkansas 12th. ESPN had them 21st and 24/7 Sports had them somewhere there in the middle. So it's a very subjective thing. There are a lot of can't miss guys, but I do think I do think if you're higher in the rankings, you are getting players that the so-called experts believe are the better players in the country. Now, the one big thing that is a staff here at Arkansas, I don't care whether it's, from Hugo Bezneck to now, you have to find players that you can develop. You have to find players that have not hit their ceilings. You have to find a player similar to Isaiah Simmons that, is now playing in the NFL for Arizona and played at Clemson. You have to find players that you can project to positions. He was here, and Coach Bielema and those them were thinking about tight end for him. He ended up being an NFL caliber linebacker safety hybrid. So it is very important for you to develop them, but it's also very important for you to project them. If you're going to be in the 15 to 25 range, let's just use that, you're going to have to hit on those type of guys. You can't take a 5'9", 160-pound defensive back from Newport, let's say from 1981, and expect him to play at a level that that Roy Williams did for the Cowboys back in the day. You have to be able to see the future as well as see the present.
Overall, Dudley, how do you think this recruiting class panned out? I mean, you're going to get the staple. We fit our needs, filled our needs, those type of comments from coaches. But, objectively speaking, how do you think this recruiting class panned out for the Razorbacks?
I think it's a really good one. I would say very good, but Clay doesn't like me to use the word very. So I'll say really good for where they were. As Coach Pittman has said, that they don't want to be in this range. They want to be as close to the top as you can be. And that's something that you certainly you try to strive for and reach out to. But I also believe the measure of this class and how it is able to help Arkansas next year is going to be driven by what happens between today and February in terms of who will be leaving the program, what they will be able to add to the program. I think we've seen over the last few years that the transfer portal guys have really come in, and most of them have been, great help to Arkansas. So I think this was a great start. You've got high school kids that I think are going to develop. Now you got to go get some immediate need guys. And he mentioned defensive tackle. He mentioned linebacker. He mentioned cornerbacks again. They feel like they met the need at wide receiver now. Those are going to be the measure of the class and how well you're going to do next year is how well you now can add on to what you got today.
For more recruiting coverage, go to wholehogsports.com. Click the recruiting button at the top of the homepage. Plenty of content there from Richard Davenport, Dudley, and the rest of our team from National Signing Day. We'll be back with another podcast next week that previews the Arkansas-Penn State game in the Outback Bowl. Razorbacks will go to Tampa next week. We'll have reporters there in town as well. Hope you'll join us then. Also, make sure to check out the basketball podcast of Mid-America with Scotty Bordelon and Bob Holt for the latest on Razorback basketball. For Dudley Dawson, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.